This is Jay Sekulow, an update on the HHS Supreme Court cases. And how about this? A group wants a satanic symbol next to the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
Do you agree with me that government cannot force certain religious beliefs on its citizens?
Yes, sir.
And why can they not do that?
Why can government not force religious beliefs?
What's the basis of that?
The separation of church and state.
Well, the Constitution, right? The First Amendment. Can government decide which religious beliefs are acceptable and not acceptable?
No, sir.
And why can they not do that?
It's part of our Constitution.
It's often women who make the healthcare decisions for our families. We put a lot of time and thought into these choices and how they'll affect our budgets. So by canceling your insurance, despite a promise to let you keep your plan, the Obama administration is essentially saying it knows best for you and your family. If you want to talk about a war on women, look no further than this healthcare law.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
What we just saw in that courtroom is of biblical proportions. Where are the breaks? Where does it stop for the government to tell a church what it can and cannot do?
A satanic memorial next to the Ten Commandments? It could happen. A New York-based satanic temple is petitioning to set up a display outside the Oklahoma State House next to the biblical statue. Proponents argue that if the state allows one type of religious expression, it must allow alternative forms as well. The ACLU agrees, but says a better solution would be no religious statues at all on state property.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the week is well underway here at the ACLJ. Let me tell you what we've got going on. Number one, a hearing is set for Thursday in Washington, D.C. on Pastor Saeed Abedini's case. Jordan will be testifying, as will Nagmeh Abedini. This is in response to our requests for these additional hearings. And the good news is Congressman Chris Smith, who's been a real champion in these issues, is moving forward with that hearing. That's number one. That's happening Thursday. We've got two briefs that we're going to be, or at least one brief that we'll be filing at the Supreme Court of the United States on these HHS mandate cases. And the irony of this is the left trying to turn this into something that it's not. What this case is about at the end of the day is the ability, can the government force you to violate your conscience? And we had quite a caller yesterday. I may play that caller if we've got it broken down. I may play that later in the broadcast today. It was in the second half of the program, but it'd be worth hearing. And also we have a situation right now that's going on in Oklahoma where we're going to be sending out a letter to the state officials there because the government there accepted a Ten Commandments monument, not unusual, about 5 years ago. We've had that case at the Supreme Court. And now the Satanic Temple of New York is demanding that their monument be accepted. I had that case at the Supreme Court, and we won 9-0, saying the fact that you take a Ten Commandments case or Ten Commandments monument, which represents the rule of law, it's even in the Supreme Court of the United States, does not mean you have to take a satanic symbol that has no reference or history with our rule of law in the United States. We're taking your calls. How do you feel about all these issues? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, very quickly, you've got that hearing coming up Thursday. What do you expect?
Well, you know, we've got a congressional hearing here in snowy Washington, D.C. today on Thursday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and we're asking people to be in prayer. Nagmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, will also be testifying. It's in the subcommittee, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, on the current update because of the prison move and also the failure by our government when we are in these unprecedented dialogues with the Islamic Republic of Iran. They have marginalized, in their own words, Saeed is on the margins and not part of the discussion, as was told by a deputy national security advisor.
Yeah, that we're going to get into that, folks. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're in a matching challenge. ACLJ.org for that donation. If you want to sign a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States and be part of history, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in a moment.
Thank you. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether the Obamacare HHS mandate that violates the conscience rights of Americans is constitutional. The ACLJ is front and center in this battle with multiple victories in lower courts, and one of its cases now pending before the high court. Our argument is clear. The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. You can stand with the ACLJ and add your name to our briefs. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got the HHS mandates at the Supreme Court of the United States. Jordan, so we're getting ready for a brief on that one. Jordan getting ready for a hearing Thursday in Washington, D.C. on the pastor Saeed Abedini. And we've got a team working up a letter right now to the legislature in Oklahoma. Why? Because the temple, the Satanic Temple of New York, is demanding that the state of Oklahoma accept a satanic symbol monument to go next to the Ten Commandments. Now, folks, this is like, you know, repeat history here. I argued the very same kind of issue at the Supreme Court of the United States, and we won it 9-0. And the government doesn't have to accept a monument like that. It's not an open forum. In fact, Jeff Surtees will be joining with us in a moment, worked on that case as well, so we'll talk about that. What do you want us to tell the folks in Oklahoma? We're going to tell them legally what it is, but is that a bit of an outrage? You know what the satanic group is doing here? Any of these groups, like Summum, that was the one in the case out of Utah, they're just trying to do anything they can to remove a Ten Commandments monument. So if you have to take something outrageous, you'll remove the Ten Commandments monument. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. We certainly want your comments. Also, your prayers for Pastor Saeed would be great as well. 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we've got a brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States, and this is a brief on the HHS mandate case, and I will tell you that we've got 27,556 people in one day signing on to this committee supporting this brief to challenge that HHS mandate at the Supreme Court. And you could add your name to it as well. Go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. And by the way, we will send you copies of these briefs. We'll have them posted once they're filed. But you will be part of history as you sign on to this committee, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let me go quickly to Jordan here. Jordan, you've got this hearing Thursday. What are you expecting?
Got in Washington, D.C. here, a hearing before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. It's a subcommittee there, two joint subcommittees, actually. Congresswoman Elena Ross Latham and also Congressman Chris Smith. Congressman Smith will be chairing the hearing, focusing solely on Saeed Abedini's case. We'll have the former head of the Lantos Commission on Human Rights, the Congressman Lantos' daughter will be testifying, me and Nagma Abedini. That's it before the hearing. It's the final day Congress is in session for this term, and I think what we're going to hear is two things. One, I'll be presenting the problems that we've seen from the administration leading up through and going on through these Iranian nuclear negotiations, with Saeed Abedini's case and the fact that he has been marginalized, in the words of the White House spokesperson for the National Security Council, not on the agenda, in the words of the Deputy National Security Advisor, that's also inside the White House, so that would be the deputy to Susan Rice,
right,
said that Saeed Abedini was not even on the agenda. Those are all going to be part of what I'll be highlighting. I know Nagme will be highlighting the personal impact.
Sure.
And, of course, she is an Iranian-American, so she'll be able to give the perspective on really what this prison move means and what it means inside Iran.
I mean, it's really something, folks. We want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jeff Surtees is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. He's worked both on this Sumum case, which involved the Ten Commandments display, but also on the HHS mandate case. Jeff, let's talk about the HHS case. As you view it, now that the Supreme Court has accepted two cases, we've litigated, I think, eight of these now, or seven of them. We've gotten injunctions in all of them, although we have one case at the Supreme Court and got notice yesterday that the Department of Justice is going to be asking the Supreme Court for a certiorari petition, a petition to hear the case as well, which will be held. What do you think, what do you expect that's really at play here? What is the issue as you see it? Jeff?
Not the government has the authority under either the First Amendment to the United States Constitution or the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to require employers to violate their religious beliefs in order to comply with a federal regulation. It really is that simple and that straightforward. There can be no doubt here, Jay, that when you tell an employer that they have to pay for or provide an abortion-inducing pill in their health insurance plan and their religious beliefs prohibit them from doing so, a regulation that requires them to do that substantially burdens that religious beliefs. And so the question
is... So the other side, Jeff, the other side keeps saying this is all about, you know, the government telling women they can't get contraception, which is not the case at all.
This case is not about whether or not employers can tell their employees not to access contraception. This case is whether or not the government can conscript private citizens, private employers, into being forced to pay for and provide those contraceptive services. None of the employers, none of our clients, none of the clients that are up at the United States Supreme Court are saying that they will fire or terminate any employee caught using any of these objectionable drugs or services. That's not the case.
And Jeff, there's nothing also prohibiting them from people getting access to these medications if they want them. I mean, it's just this idea that you could tell an employer, and I used this example yesterday. Let's say the government, in its wisdom, I say that in quotes, passes a plan that says, you know, employers that have more than 50 people in their full-time employment have to have a meal plan where they have to offer meals at work, and those meals have to include fish, you know, chicken, a red meat and a white meat, and the white meat has to be pork because the government's decided that that's healthy, so for whatever reason. So you got a Jewish-owned business, and they say, you know what, we're not going to serve the pork because it violates our conscience. Does anybody that's listening to me think that would be a problem, that the government should have the ability to come in and tell the Jewish business owner, you have to serve pork? The answer is no. But, Jeff, the whole thing turns, it becomes this liberal cause celeb because of the issue that's involved here.
Oh, that's exactly right. This issue does not have anything to do with whether or not employees of these businesses or employees of other objecting businesses can access this stuff. They can use their own salaries to go and buy these products and services. That's not an issue. The issue is whether or not the government can conscript these employers against their deeply and sincerely held religious beliefs into doing something that violates those religious beliefs. And the answer to that question has to be no.
Well, listen to what President Obama said. This is number six, and this is, I'm going to get Jordan's comment and yours as well. Listen to this one.
But we did say that big Catholic hospitals or universities who employ a lot of non-Catholics and who receive a lot of federal money, that for them to be in a position to say to a woman who works there, you can't get that from your insurance company, even though the institution isn't paying for it, crosses the line where that woman, she suddenly is going to have to bear the burden and the cost of that. And that's not fair.
Jeff, let me go to you first, and then I want Jordan's comment on this. Your response to the president's statement there.
Well, with all due respect, it's gobbledygook. This idea that these nonprofits are somehow being accommodated is really rubbish, because it's a shell game. They're saying that the nonprofits don't have to pay for it, that the insurance company is going to pay for it. But who in the end is going to pay for it? It's going to be those nonprofits paying for it through their premiums. There's no way that the does an insurance company ever give anything away gratis? Of course not. That cost will eventually be shifted to the nonprofit, and that nonprofit will be in the same position as the for-profit employers, where they end up paying for these products and services themselves.
Jordan, what's your sense on, you know, obviously we got the cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, but the latest on Obamacare and the whole rollout is becoming disastrous by the moment.
Oh, it's much bigger than right now, even the HHS mandate. The fact that more people will have lost health care than have gotten insurance come January 1st. So that Obamacare has caused more Americans not to have health care. Americans, for the most part, that number increasing because these were Americans who did have health care who have now lost it. That's the only way you can have an increase like that. So they're losing insurance. And this is before next year's employer mandate kicks in, where the estimates are somewhere between 50 to 100 million people who will be losing their insurance. And I would say on the HHS mandate, I think the Obama administration, a lot of legal scholars on the left, are, especially the constitutional law world, were shocked that these circuit courts were finding this to be completely unconstitutional as applied to these corporate businesses, not just for nonprofits, but for actual businesses.
Yep.
Like Hobby Lobby and the others that we've represented as well. And so now that it's at the Supreme Court on these two different cases, this is just the beginning. As we said years ago, that the first challenge to Obamacare on the individual mandate was just one of many that will be coming, and there are a number of legal challenges in the courts, some that could literally disrupt the entire program if that even needs to be done. I mean, we've got a program falling apart.
I was going to say, it's falling apart pretty well on its own, and this HHS case doesn't end Obamacare. I don't want anybody to think that notion. Hey, Jeff, we want you to hang with us for next segment of the broadcast. Folks, we're taking your phone calls. We're talking about this HHS mandate case at the Supreme Court. We're also talking about Saeed Abedini's hearing Thursday. This is a hearing focusing just on his case. Jordan's going to be there representing our interests. What would you have him say to members of Congress? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That hearing is at just 48 hours. Jordan's going to be our voice, your voice, at that hearing. What do you want him to tell Congress? 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the phone. Now, folks, let me tell you what we've got. We've got a brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States. We've got a committee that's been formed for it. Over 27,000 people have signed on to it. Go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that committee, or simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And you could sign on to that brief, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And don't forget, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org, tax deductible, and we get it matched. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether the Obamacare HHS mandate that violates the conscience rights of Americans is constitutional. The ACLJ is front and center in this battle with multiple victories in lower courts, and one of its cases now pending before the high court. Our argument is clear. The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. You can stand with the ACLJ and add your name to our briefs. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, can't get no relief.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You know, that's the famous song by Jimi Hendrix, Watchtower. And the, when you play, we recorded it here, our band here at J Secular Live recorded, that was John Schlitt doing the lead vocals on that. And it was interesting because those words fit so much with what's going on right now. You've got to be on the watchtower. There's so much going on. You've got to be looking to see where the next move is. And we posted that on Facebook, both on my page and ACLJ's page as well. John Schlitt has a new Christmas album out. You can go to johnwschlitt.com. That's johnwschlitt.com. And get that. We encourage you to. We'll be playing some of that music in the weeks ahead. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 about all these issues. You know, Jeff, I mentioned briefly the situation with these satanic group now trying to get the state of Oklahoma to take a satanic symbol monument, whatever that is, to because they took a Ten Commandments monument about 8 or 10 years ago. We handled this exact kind of situation, and I've always said that this is just another attempt by these groups to remove the Ten Commandments monument. They don't really want their satanic monument up. They really want to force the city or the state government to take down the Ten Commandments, even though the government doesn't have to do it.
No, that's exactly what it is, and that's exactly right, Jay, and that's exactly what happened in the Sumum case. In Sumum, that they wanted to display their Seven Aphorisms monument in the park alongside the Ten Commandments monument that was donated by the Fraternal Order of Eagles. That request was not about really displaying the Seven Aphorisms. There was actually no monument in place. They only had a design for it. It really was about a focused attack on getting rid of the Ten Commandments monument that was there in Pleasant Grove's City Park. In fact, the same attorney who represented Sumum in the request to display the Seven Aphorisms of Sumum, also filed a lawsuit during the pendency of that litigation on behalf of another organization, Society of Separationists, trying to get the Ten Commandments monument removed. So you had an attorney representing both parties taking opposite positions, but really, bottom line, with one goal in mind, to get rid of the Ten Commandments monument.
And we won that case, folks, at the Supreme Court of the United States, and it was not even a close 9-0 in a religion case. All nine justices of the Supreme Court thought we were correct, the most conservative and the most liberal. So that kind of tells you how this goes, but we were there fighting for it, folks. Again, you know, when we talk about these cases, we're at the month of December for the ACLJ is, as you can imagine, huge in our finances for the ACLJ. This is 30% of our revenue. We've got a matching challenge in place right now at the ACLJ. We're trying to raise about $2 million online. If you could go to aclj.org and support the work of the ACLJ, not only tax deductible, whatever amount you donate, we get a matching grant for. So aclj.org, that's aclj.org, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. I want to encourage you to do that. You'll be getting emails and updates from us. But again, aclj.org. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's take a phone call. Mary Ellen from Illinois on line 5. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Jay. I just have a quick question
sure.
about Pastor Saeed Abedin,
yep.
the hearing.
Yep.
How is it our State Department can get the man out of Korea in 1 month?
Jordan, you want to take, because that's one, of course, we're all, you know, we're glad he's out, number one. But Jordan, this is the question that everybody's asking. Why was this not a precondition in the negotiations?
Sure. I mean, I would say unfortunately, the way that played out is that he was not Korean. And there is a Korean American who's still in prison in North Korea. So that's one. The second part is that he, again, the details of his trip were even more, I'd say, unique. But it's a different relationship. North Korea is much more reliant, actually, on the United States than Iran. And why do I say that? Well, we don't have business with North Korea, but technically we don't have relationship with North Korea, but we send and allow millions, billions even, of international aid, including food, into North Korea. So because of that, usually they do these kind of show trials, which they forced that individual to go through, and he had to read the statement saying he had done all these bad things and was sent there for bad purposes, and then North Korea was great, but they let him out. That it was not the case for a Korean national who is an American citizen who is still in prison there, and Saeed is being treated as an Iranian. That's their, that's of course their excuse inside Iran. And so I don't take that as enough of a reason. They've had a lot longer than a month to handle this, and no one was saying get this done in a month. But it's now 441 days, and it's now been an issue, in the words of the White House. Let me make that clear to everyone, in the words of the White House, that has been not on the table. It is not on the agenda. That was what the Deputy National Security Advisor to President Obama told Wolf Blitzer. It's not on the agenda. And in the White House Security Council spokesperson, who, after his boss said that, went back on and said, well, it is on the margins. So, again, folks, at least it's marginalized, and that's if you believe that statement, which was really trying to clarify the Deputy National Security Advisor saying it's not being discussed at all.
Well, this is why we've got a hearing, folks, and it's going to be a big one, and we will be reporting from it Thursday and Friday and keep everybody posted. But, again, keep this in prayer. There's new information posted at ACLJ.org. Let me ask you one last thing, Jeff. Your expectation, I hate predicting, you know that, but your expectation of what happens in the HHS cases?
I think it'll be a hard-fought case, so I can be safe in saying that.
Yeah, today, absolutely.
But I think that we will eventually prevail in the end here. I think that there has to be a majority of justices there who will err on the side of liberty and say, listen, fine, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that's the law of the land. This regulation that Congress did not vote on, it was passed by the regulatory agencies, goes too far. And it goes too far by requiring these employers to do something that can undisputably violates their religious beliefs. And that is just a bridge too far that the Supreme Court simply cannot allow. In fact, you know, when the Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate, 2 years ago, Justice Ginsburg herself observed, quote, a mandate to purchase a particular product would be unconstitutional if, for example, the edict impermissibly interfered with the free exercise of religion. You know, Justice Ginsburg almost predicted that this case is going to be one day before them. And I'm confident that we're going to get a majority of the justices to see our way on this.
Well, we're working that brief right now. Thanks, Jeff, for your comments. We're working that brief right now, folks. If you want to be part of history, literally part of history, with a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, you call us at 1-877-989-2255 and you tell our operator, I want to add my name to that committee for that brief, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org, and you can sign that brief as well. Over 27,752 of you have. We will get to 100,000, I believe, on this. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that brief. Now, as I mentioned, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on SiriusXM, just go to aclj.org. We're streaming it live there. We'll be talking about Pastor Saeed. We're going to talk about this Ten Commandments case in Oklahoma. We're going to be talking about the HHS mandates as well. So we've got a lot to talk about. I encourage you to call us. Talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you this, folks, also, support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. Your online donation is matched. Any amount you give us, we get a matching grant for aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And if you also want to help us but don't have the resources to do it, call our member services. With products you're using every day, we'll save you money and you'll help the ACLJ. 1-800-311-2472. That's 1-800-311-2472. Back with more in a moment.
The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Guitar work there, I have to say, by our guitarist here at the Jay Sekulow Live Band. That was our most recent music video posted, the Jimi Hendrix song Watchtower. And John Schlitt was lead singer on that. I was playing drums, and our talented team of guitarists and vocalists did a great job. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's take Anastasia, Jordan, calling from Texas.
Yeah, Anastasia online, too. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Hi, Anastasia.
Well, thank you, dear one. I pretty much have a statement and a request of all the ACLJ-related members and the family radio audience.
Sure.
Regarding, you know, hearing this. What if all ACLJ members and all the radio family hearing audience inundated President Obama's email?
On Pastor Saeed?
Yes, requesting and demanding the release of Pastor Saeed.
Yeah, we have, Jordan, why don't you explain it? We have operated, actually, we've done these kind of campaigns before, and they've been very effective. I mean, they can be very effective.
Yeah, that's right. And so we actually have a letter-writing campaign going to President Obama right now. It's up at BeHeardProject.com. And we sometimes, you know, you could do it digitally, and White House does take those comments, but we like to, when possible, print it out, get it delivered, sends a message, kind of overloads the system. And so that's available right now at BeHeardProject.com. But if you want to do that online, I encourage people, you know, be creative, contact your representatives. Of course, we're all represented by the President of the United States. So you can contact the White House through those channels that they have available on their website. So I'd encourage people, you know, this is a time to really put the pressure on President Obama and Secretary Kerry. It is Congress who will be also doing that, focusing on that. But they are the ones who have sidelined the issue and have, again, you know, Secretary Kerry made this comment or was questioned at, about the Americans imprisoned in Iran. Yep. He never mentioned Saeed by name, but he said, you know, they'll be basically assuming that they'll eventually get home. And we know where Saeed is. We know what the treatment is like. I mean, the fact is, it's the administration is not living in reality.
Well, I think that's that is the reality we're living in, and we're going to do everything we can to fight back here. Deborah's calling from Oklahoma. Boy, and I guess on the case involving Oklahoma. Deborah, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I just don't get it, because here's my main thing. You know, we fought the Civil War because the South and the North, you know, didn't like, they had differing views, and one like saying, you know, no slavery, and the other one said, yes, we want slavery. So we had a, you know, rift in the nation then. So why are we going back? And I know history repeats itself, but why are we going back and saying, oh, yeah, somebody in New York can say that they don't like what somebody's doing in Oklahoma?
Well, it's not even that. It's the idea that you've got a Ten Commandment monument up, and therefore the government now has to, which represents the rule of law historically. It's in the Supreme Court of the United States, for instance. So therefore, now the government has to take on any message on anybody that anybody wants to put up. Here it's a group that is, quote, a satanic temple. And the answer to that is, as the Supreme Court said, no. And they said it 9-0. So Oklahoma wins this at the end of the day. This is just another attempt to stifle religious freedom. We appreciate your call. Hey, folks, we're going into a break. We come back more on these issues, a whole host of them. The life issue, we're going to be talking about Pastor Saeed. Got a lot more ahead. We want to encourage you, make an online gift to the ACLJ, folks. We're in a matching challenge campaign right now. Any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Be in prayer for our team And this is important, folks. Be in prayer for our team getting ready for the Supreme Court hearing just literally days away. The hearing before the Congress on Saeed's case. And it's just focusing on Pastor Saeed. It's Thursday. It's critical that your voice be heard on this. So we want to encourage you to pray for Jordan and Nagme as they get ready for this big hearing on Thursday. ACLJ.org again for that matching gift. Any amount you give, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And by the way, this music you're hearing right now from John Schlitt's new CD, Christmas CD. Back with more in a moment.
The Supreme Court is going to decide whether the Obamacare HHS mandate that violates the conscience rights of Americans is constitutional. The ACLJ is front and center in this battle with multiple victories in lower courts, and one of its cases now pending before the high court. Our argument is clear. The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. You can stand with the ACLJ and add your name to our briefs. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Secular Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, we continue to talk about the HHS mandate that the Supreme Court is getting ready to hear. We are, of course, involved in that litigation on a number of fronts. We're directly litigating on behalf of several for-profit clients, one of which is actually being held at the Supreme Court right now, waiting for a decision to come out of the oral arguments that will happen in the next couple of months here. But just sort of on backdrop of that issue, I wanted to play for you a segment from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. This is a history of the pro-life movement, specifically as the ACLJ and Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel, have been directly at the center of that. We take a look at all of the litigation leading up to the Supreme Court, leading up to current day, and the legal landscape that surrounds the life issue. Of course, that really comes into play when you're talking about this HHS mandate that is forcing religious institutions to dispense abortifacients against their religious objections. So we thought in light of that, it was appropriate to play this segment of Choosing Life for you, and we encourage you to check out that entire documentary as well. Let's go ahead and roll this segment again. This is from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life.
You started life as a single cell. That cell was a combination of an egg like this from your mother and a sperm cell from your father.
I believe that life begins with the fertilization of the egg and sperm. I think that's the beginning of life, and that's what most scientists believe. Now, there's a whole different issue about consciousness and the soul and all of that kind of thing, but I believe that human life really begins at the very, very beginning.
That's 7 days away from an embryo that implants in the uterine wall. So we're not even talking about implantation. It's not even in the uterus yet. It's still in the fallopian tube. But that's when the two pronuclei from the male and female gametes unite and form a zygote. That is your unique genetic being, if you will. And from that moment on, you just keep dividing as a cell and divide, and the DNA begins a lifetime of expression.
At 5 weeks from the woman's last period and 3 weeks after conception, as early as that, we can see a heartbeat. And brain waves 1 week after that.
And you can actually make out in this picture the little finger nails.
And so when women are having an abortion at 8 weeks, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like a glob of tissue to me.
No, it's not a glob of tissue at all.
Fear is probably the biggest reason why these girls have an abortion. A lot of them know that it's wrong, a lot of them don't want to do it, but they feel like it's their only way of surviving their life. I just can't have this baby. The guy's not going to stand by me. My parents will not stand by me. My mom's telling me to have it. My friend has had one in the past and she says, just do it, you know, just suck it up for this half an hour and go through this horrible thing and your life will be back to normal. They believe that lie, and it is a lie.
I was in college. I went to Tufts University up in Medford, Massachusetts, and most people don't know that abortion was legal in some states in 1972 before Roe v. Wade. And New York was one of the states that had legalized abortion. And I actually flew from Boston to New York and had the abortion. I had choice because I knew my mom would have taken the baby. I knew that. But I was grown. And so I didn't want the baggage, in all honesty, of having a child while I was in college, because I had a vision for my life and it didn't include children. It was a very horrific experience for me. It was not this, it's nothing like, you know, more than pulling a tooth. That is a total lie. When I got up from the table, they gave me cookies and juice to drink, and they let you lay there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before they shepherded you out and herded in the next group. And when I stood up, their sugar and cookies didn't work, and I fainted. And I think I fainted because of the horror of what I had done. I knew it was a baby. I knew it was another life. And so, I just was heartless. And I think that's the case for many of us. It's just selfishness. It's just heartlessness. It's just, you know, I can't be bothered right now. And I think that we just don't want to face the lie because we know. And I think if you ask any woman that's ever killed her baby, she'll tell you, I knew.
I've had 3 abortions, and I was told that it was just a blob of tissue. I wasn't given any choices as far as ultrasounds or told me to, why don't you go home, think about it, and then come back. Nothing like that. There was nothing positive in trying to help save my baby. All they wanted to do was just destroy my baby.
And that's when the drama really began. I cried. I immediately knew that I had made the wrong decision. And I cried and cried and cried. I missed my baby all the time. I was always reminded because pretty much as women, everywhere we go, they ask you how many pregnancies when you're filling out medical forms, how many children were born, how many were aborted, how many was miscarried. So you're always answering that question. So you're always aware of that child that's not here.
When I became engaged in sexual activity, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about any consequence whatsoever, and ended up having abortions over and over again. And after the 4th time, I just had a gut instinct way down deep inside that there just has to be something wrong with killing your offspring. You know, I hadn't heard any messages out in society at that point, but deep inside it was just getting weary and tiring.
And when I found myself pregnant, Roe v. Wade had just happened. It was all in the news. I called my doctor. He said, no problem. We can take care of it. And I rushed right through until the moment the anesthesia wore off, and I remember looking up from that bed going, I have killed my baby. I tried to change everything in my life, thinking surely there's some way I could make it better, but nothing worked. Women are uniquely made to give life, and when we destroy that part, when we destroy that life within us, we destroy part of ourselves.
When I was 17 years old, it was actually 2 days before my 17th birthday, my high school girlfriend told me she was pregnant. I was on a Saturday morning, it was the day after a football game, I was still in bed. And that morning, we just spent the day talking about what we were gonna do, now you're pregnant. So the plan that we came up with was, on my birthday, I would drop out of high school and join the Army. And for her part, she'd wear baggy sweaters and take vitamins. And I thought she had the easy part. And so that's what we did. On my birthday, I went down to the recruiter's office and began the paperwork. A few weeks later, I was off to Fort Benning, Georgia, when a friend came running in and he said, Jonesy, your girlfriend's on the phone. She's crying. So I ran out and answered the phone. And she just kept saying over and over and over again, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It wasn't me. And then her father said over the other line, Jason, we know your secret and your secret's gone. We took Katie to get an abortion. I was sad for my girlfriend and how she was hurt. And I never heard a woman cry like that in my life. And I was sad at the loss of my child and my daughter. We knew she was a girl. This was 6 months after conception. We had named her. Her name was Jessica. And we were very excited. I couldn't wait to get home. And I promised her that day. Here I am, a high school dropout with a GED now, a private in the Army. But I promised her, naively, I know now, but I promised her. I said, Katie, if it takes me the rest of my life, for you and for Jessica, I'll end abortion.
I just heard that, you know, if a girl got pregnant, she'd go and have it aborted, taken care of. The specifics were always left out.
Again, folks, that was our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. We encourage you to check out that entire piece. Listen, as we push toward the Supreme Court's hearing on this matter, the HHS mandate, the forced dispensing of contraceptions and abortifacients in violation of your religious conscience, we want you to stand with us. Remember, this is part of a regulation that came out of Obamacare, and the bottom line is if this ruling goes the wrong way, if the federal government can force this kind of activity, there is really nothing that they cannot dictate. And what is next? The sky is the limit. If you want to stand with us, call now, 877-989-2255. That is up at aclj.org as well. But if you want to sign the brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States telling the federal government to get out of your religious rights, to get out of your conscience, call now, 877-989-2255. Your name will be part of a committee that will actually go on a brief to be filed at the Supreme Court as this case is heard in the next several weeks. So as we go to a break, go to your phones, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
The
The Supreme Court is going to decide whether the Obamacare HHS mandate that violates the conscience rights of Americans is constitutional. The ACLJ is front and center in this battle with multiple victories in lower courts, and one of its cases now pending before the high court. Our argument is clear. The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. You can stand with the ACLJ and add your name to our briefs. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, we continue to prepare for Thursday morning's hearing in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Nagmeh Abedini, the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini, will be testifying in front of Congress again on behalf of her husband. Our executive director, Jordan Sekulow, will be testifying as well about the legal ramifications of Pastor Saeed's case, how we got to this point, what recourse is left. Of course, both Jordan and Nagmeh will be calling on this president and also the Secretary of State, John Kerry, to re-engage on behalf of Pastor Saeed. We missed a major opportunity at the P5 Plus One talks where we had the Iranian regime across the table from the United States government, and we declined to even ask for Pastor Saeed's release. So Jordan and Nagmeh are going to be going to the Hill on Thursday. I encourage you to follow this hearing. They will be asking Congress to again put pressure on this administration to make Pastor Saeed's case a priority for the United States government. As we prepare for that hearing, I wanted to play for you a couple of things. First of all, yesterday, Jordan went on CBN. He did a Skype interview about this upcoming hearing. And then over Thanksgiving, we actually had Nagmeh on this broadcast to just kind of give an update on the case, to talk about her husband's situation. We wanted you to hear directly from Nagmeh as she prepares for Thursday's hearing. Let's go ahead and roll both of those now. Again, Jordan on CBN and Nagmeh on Jay Sekulow Live.
A congressional hearing on American pastor Saeed Abedini is set for Thursday morning in Washington. Pastor Abedini was transferred last month to the violent criminal ward in Rajshahr prison, the deadliest prison in Iran. He has been repeatedly robbed and threatened at knife point there, and his health is declining since Iranian authorities will not give him his medication. He's also reportedly malnourished and covered in lice.
The ACLJ's Jordan Sekulow joins us now with more. Jordan, what is the goal of this hearing?
Well, you know, we have got an issue now, Mark, and thanks for having me on today, with Pastor Saeed Abedini. We're at 441 days that he's been imprisoned in Iran only because of his Christian faith, while we have ongoing negotiations and nuclear agreements and deals being made between the United States and Iran. And we were told that he was an issue discussed, and this was out of the White House spokesperson's own words, on the margins. When members of Congress heard that he was only a marginal issue, as well as the two other Americans, one in prison, one missing in Iran, when we're at the table, we've opened up the diplomatic channel. They can no longer use that whole issue that, well, we don't have diplomatic relations. We're certainly sitting down at the table a lot with various Iranian ministers and top government officials on the nuclear issue, that we could not get three Americans home, and we believe that they were betrayed. Well, so do some members of Congress, and there will be a congressional hearing on Thursday, 9:30 a.m. at the Rayburn House office building, and the House Foreign Affairs Committee will be testifying before. It will be me and Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagmeh Abedini.
Talk a little bit about the conditions Pastor Saeed is facing, Jordan.
You know, he was moved from the prison in Tehran, Evin prison, to a much more difficult, a much more dangerous prison a few weeks ago, Rajshahr. This is a prison where people are sent to disappear. It's a prison mostly hardened criminals, people who are convicted of violent crimes and basically awaiting death or have been sentenced to life in prison. This is more desolate, gives less opportunity for family visitations, and Pastor Saeed is under this kind of constant threat because he's no longer around political prisoners. He's now surrounded by murderers, people who have actually committed very violent crimes.
How can people in America help?
You know, this week we're going to need prayer. Testifying before Congress is never easy, especially for Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagma Abedini, who will be testifying for the second time. It's always tough for her to have to tell the story and to have to give the grim news. Unfortunately, this will not be a positive update on Saeed's case, but we are going to have all the details up at our website, aclj.org. People can watch the hearing. It'll be streaming on live through the website for the committee. So it's this Thursday.
Okay, Jordan Sekulow, the executive director of the ACLJ. Thanks for your time, Jordan.
Thanks, Mark.
With right now, Nagma, let me ask you this. I've got your reaction. Of course, I am outraged. I've been doing the media this morning and even over the weekend. I'm outraged at this move by the State Department. What's your thoughts? I know this has got to be very troubling for you and for your kids.
You know, we were hoping that Saeed would be home for Christmas. That was all the, that's what the kids wanted. And we were, you know, we were waiting and hoping that Saeed would be discussed, that Iran would be kept accountable for their wrongful imprisonment of Saeed based on his religious belief, and that our government would stand up for him and speak out even before making a deal, that they would ask or demand his immediate release. And it was very discouraging to see what happened, and not knowing now with this, it's the chances of getting him out, the leverage has diminished. It's because made it much harder to try to get him home.
Yeah, also, not only has it made it harder, we've taken leverage off of the negotiating. I am outraged. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe that Congress can stiffen the sanctions. And we'll talk to Than about that in a moment. In fact, let me ask that to Than Bennett right now. Than, there is a number, bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats are saying this is a horrible deal. We should not do this. It is the stiff sanctions that brought Iran to the table. We should be maintaining those, not pulling them back, especially with Saeed not released.
Yeah, I think the sentiment was best expressed by the majority leader of the House, Jay, Eric Cantor, who said that this deal centers around trusting Iran, and that is something that we can't do. But you said it's bipartisan. Chuck Schumer's already come out, said that they're going to put sanctions back on the table. But listen, all you have to do is look at Pastor Saeed's situation, and that should be enough. There should have been no negotiations without the pastor's release. There certainly should have been no deal without his release. And Jay, the idea that we are going to send them humanitarian aid when they are keeping one of our citizens in their prisons, it is unacceptable. It is diplomatic negligence and failure, and they have to be held to account for it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Nagma. You're talking to millions of people right now on this broadcast. What's the message you want out there?
You know, it's something that every American should be and is passionate about, is knowing that our government will stand up for us when we're being wrongfully held. We have not broken a law, and we're being held simply because we believe differently, because of our belief. And if we don't speak out now, if we don't let our government know this is important, it should be a priority, then I think our, as I've mentioned before, our children will face what my children are facing. And this morning I was watching them pray, and they were praying. They don't know about the recent, of course, updates, but they are praying, God, don't let Daddy die. Bring him home for Christmas. And I don't know, every time they say that, I don't know what to tell them, because it doesn't look like he will be home for Christmas. I don't know how many more Christmases, and it's hard. It's a painful, holidays are so painful for all of us. It's not, Jacob was saying a few days ago, he was saying, when Daddy comes, I'll be happy again. It shows that he's sad, and yeah. You know, it's holidays are not as, you know, joyful as they have been, and they're painful for them because Daddy's not there.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on CBN and Nagma on Jay Sekulow Live. They will both be testifying before the United States Congress this Thursday morning. I encourage you, all of you, to pay attention to their testimony. Continue calling on the United States government to stand with Pastor Saeed. But as we close the broadcast today, I want you to stand with us at the Supreme Court of the United States on this issue of the HHS mandate. If you have not yet signed this petition, today is the day to do so. You can call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. But as we close the broadcast, go to your phones, 877-989-2255.
The HHS mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that include coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is preparing to file amicus briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the High Court to reject the HHS mandate. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.